What is really going on here? We thought we talked to Nelson Happy, a lawyer for the Red Apple Group, a great guy, knows the law through and through. Mr. Happy, welcome back.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for asking me.
What is going on? You've seen the media reports. I want to make sure. Has this like always been happening and now it's getting attention?
Yeah, it's always been happening.
Really?
It's just a routine problem that landlords face, but today there's more evidence of it because there's more of a housing crisis with all of the people coming into New York without housing and the difficulty in taking care of homeless people. More and more break-ins are happening and more crime associated with that is happening. So it's getting a lot of publicity. But from a legal standpoint, as long as there's been landlords and tenants and rental property, our homes, this has been a problem. It goes back to the early days of the common law. You know, back even before this country was established, there were laws about this, and it's been going on all that time.
All right, so let's put it this way. Let's say I have a home, and it's in the Rockaways, and I do summers in Florida, and I'm down there for 6 months, and I come back, and a family of four has just broken in, and they've been living there for 3 months.
Well, in that case, they can make a claim that they are occupying your property by adverse possession, and therefore they have rights. Now, that doesn't give them rights, but you can't just summarily evict them or have them taken or thrown out by the police. You have to go to court. You have to first give them a notice to quit. Then if they don't move out after 10 days, you've got to go ahead and have a hearing. And then if the court determines that they're not legally in occupancy, then the court will give them an order that they have to be gone in 14 days. And if they're not gone in 14 days, then the law enforcement people can literally take them out and put their stuff on the street if they have stuff.
Yeah, so, but that takes a long time.
It does. It probably at least if New York City, it's 5 months to a year. And in fact, in New York, it's even in the city – after only 30 days of occupancy of being there is all is necessary for somebody to say that they claim property rights and then get a court hearing. So probably as a practical matter, you're talking about a year of not getting your rent.
And this is not new. This is not a new accommodation for illegals or migrants or whatever. This is the books. They've been like this for centuries.
Yeah, for years. I mean, there was a recent enactment that in New York City that cut the time down from 30 days to 10 days where people could in New York City can claim adverse possession. So that's been a change, but that's just in New York City. New York State, it remains 30 days.
Wait, if they claim adverse possession, they can claim adverse possession.
You can claim it.
But what is a legitimate case of adverse possession? What does that mean?
There are legitimate cases of it, but they are very rare to have actually.
What is it?
First of all, it's 10 years of continuous occupancy. Not just coming in and out, but you actually have to live there as your primary residence. You have to pay the property taxes as if you were the owner, and you have to have it as your primary residence.
Oh, so they're going to claim adverse possession when the owners come back against the owners.
When the owner shows back up and then finds out somebody's in their house or building, and then they want to get them out. So and
the people there say, no, that's adverse possession. We have this.
Exactly. They say that. Now, in court, they can't prove it because almost nobody stays in continuous, open, and notorious possession for 10 years without paying taxes.
What if – I'm serious now. I'm not trying to be – all right, I come home to the Rockaways and my house is occupied.
Mm-hmm.
I have a key to the front door.
Yep.
And I come and I open the door and I have a garbage can full thing of skunks. And I let the skunks into the house and they stink up the place and they run outside and I run inside and I say, This is my house.
You got a great imagination. I love that idea.
Well, if I get them out of the house and I break in while they're gone, is that okay?
I would say putting a skunk in the house would not be covered by these statutes. But really, what the statute has in mind is a literal physical eviction, not putting a skunk in. I suppose an argument could be made that you're constructively evicting them by putting a skunk in there.
All right, forget the skunk. Sorry, yeah, I brought it
that,
up. I
that
know,
was
but,
a neat. I love the idea. I've well, never heard that
well,
one
if
before.
If I got them to leave, if I induce them to leave.
That's you know, okay, as long as you don't use gunpoint or something.
Well,
if
I mean,
you can talk them out of there, that's fine.
I'm tempted to use gunpoint. I would be tempted.
Yeah, but you can't do that. You can't use gunpoint.
Well, what if I called the cops and said, hey, these people broke into my house. Get them out of there.
They've been there. If it's trespassing, and maybe I should have said that because there's such a thing as trespassing. That's when somebody breaks in your property unlawfully and occupies it.
That's what they did.
But in order to get trespassing, you have to have a no trespassing sign up. And most people, when they leave their house to go on vacation, are not going to put up a no trespassing sign. So to create trespassing, first, you got to have the sign. Secondly,
everybody get one right now.
Yeah, go out and get one. They're for sale at the hardware store. But then the second thing is that they have to be there less than 30 days. So if they've been able to – if you have a no trespassing sign and they've stayed there 30 days, now you got to go to court. You can't just call the cops. If it's less than 30 days and you have a no trespassing sign, the cops can evict them.
Stop. ED is no laughing matter. This could be caused from low T, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Elevate Wellness can help. 40% of men over 40 have experienced this. Make the call to Elevate Wellness now. 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. The office visit is only $99 and includes exam, blood work, test dose, and consultation. Call Elevate Wellness. 973-354-2276. Or Elevate Wellness Group. If you're suffering from ED, you're not alone. 60% of men over 60 have this problem. Help is out there. The professionals at Elevate Wellness can help you be the man you used to be. They've helped thousands of patients and have a 96% success rate. What are you waiting for? Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Your first visit is only $99. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Help is out there. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Your health is important. Your sexual health is very important. And like everything else, it has challenges. As many as 50% of men over 50 have sexual-related difficulties, like ED, low testosterone, and low energy. That's where they come in. Elevate Wellness has real professional and in-person solutions. Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Or visit ElevateWellnessGroup.com and get back to where it started. Office visits only $99 this month.
All right, let's get back to the gunpoint thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand this. I mean, if they break into my house while I'm in there, as they're breaking in, 9 times out of 10, I can shoot them.
In most places, yes, as they're coming in the window and coming in the door, you can use lethal force to stop them. But once they're in,
Once they're in,
you got to live with it. You can't shoot them.
This is one of those situations, Nelson, where the law just seems to be a little bit out to lunch.
It's been that way for hundreds of years, though. It's it's the difference between the fear that you have in somebody coming into your residence with essentially, oftentimes with force, and you can repel it. But once they're in, now you have to resort to legal process. So it doesn't make sense, but it's been the law of England, even before our country was set up.
Well, do you think there's a, it's an emergency and we need to revamp them?
I would say in New York City, the law that's been established of that you can claim adverse possession after 10 days is wacky. It ought to go back to the... I don't think the state 30 days is very long either, frankly, but it's certainly better than 10 days. So, yes, I think there needs to be reform. And I believe there are bills before the General Assembly talking about reforming. I'm not really too familiar with what the reforms are, but it's especially with so much public attention to it. People are now scared, and there are instances in which you're – property has been taken over by people, the violence has resulted and injuries. So it's probably a much worse problem now with housing being so short. Probably the worst time in recent history is probably after World War II, where there was a tremendous shortage of housing. But people had a different mentality in those days. There wasn't the same lack of respect for law and order that we have today.
Let me ask you about something else, if you don't mind. Another topic. You know this crazy case with the nondisclosure, Michael Cohen, Stormy Daniels, scheduled to start trial April 15th, Judge Juan Merchan presiding.
Yes.
Now, it's come out, and I think this has been established, these facts have been established, that his adult daughter, 34 years old, is the kind of one of the prime employees of a place called Accurate Elections. That's the name of the firm.
Yeah.
And it's partisan as hell, and that's fine, free country, whatever. But, you know, they've done work for Letitia James, Adam Schiff. They put fundraising material out based on Donald Trump is in political trouble. Let's finish the job, you know, raising money. The lawyers for Trump have pointed this out and say, Your Honor, I'm sorry. There seems to be a major conflict here, and we suggest you recuse. I mean, don't they have the Trump lawyers a dynamite case?
Well, again, you're just pointing out how the law can be wacky, and the answer is it's up to the judge to decide if he should recuse himself or not, or he or she, and it's pretty much up to the judge.
So, can we call his boss?
Well, the judges don't have a boss. You can appeal the decision not to to recuse. You can go to the appellate division and have them rule on it, but by and large, 99 out of 100 times, no appeals court is going to second-guess a judge on recusal, and recusal is a sophisticated question. It's really if the judge himself had written things or belonged to an organization that did advocacy that was opposed to it, then it'd be a lot clearer thing. My children do things that I don't know about and I don't necessarily agree with, and that doesn't mean that I am prejudiced in a case. So I don't think in every instance the problem is the appearance of lack of justice, the appearance
of unfairness.
And that's,
we always hear about that. And I mean, to me, look, there are a lot of judges to choose from. Get a judge who doesn't have a daughter who is a prominent partisan openly calling for the jailing of President Trump. I mean, it doesn't get any more kind of conflicted than that.
It does create the appearance of injustice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If nothing else, I mean, the judge might be a pro-Trump guy. You don't really know. Just because a child is taking one position doesn't mean that he is. But on the other hand, it does create the appearance of impropriety. And judges are oftentimes ethically required to recuse themselves when there's the appearance of injustice. And something as explosive as this case, and by the way, who even wants to sit on the bench on this kind of case? I think I'd be inclined to want to recuse myself to make somebody else have to sit in the hot seat.
Are you ever frustrated by the law? Because, you know, it's amazing. It's like we can have a situation that is totally unjust, that is totally wrong, yet the law allows it. And I sense that that's kind of what is happening to Donald Trump. I mean, people know it's wrong. They know it's political, but they have kind of, the law is set up in such a way that they can actually pull this off legally. One of my listeners once pointed out, though, Adolf Hitler, you know what he did in Germany? Everything he did was technically legal. I mean, that's kind of a famous thing there. So we never broke the law. We're not breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're a longtime lawyer, of course. I hear people love the law. I don't love the law so much these days. I don't know. I feel let down by it. Do you ever feel let down?
Well, whenever you lose a case as a lawyer, you feel let down because most of the time you believe in your client or your case, and therefore it's disappointing. But most of the time I feel good about it. I've never actually tried a case where I felt like the jury actually had a miscarriage of justice. I always have felt that the jury has made a reasonable decision. What I get frustrated by more judges than juries, and I've been a trial lawyer for a long time, and I would always rather try a case to a jury because there's 12 people or 9, and they have different viewpoints. They share them. They tend to see everything that goes on in a courtroom because you got 12 pairs of eyes they're watching. if you have one judge, man or woman, who's making the decision, it's still just one person. And it's so frustrating to go into court and have good case law, and you know that the decision on the law should be a certain way, and have the judge sit there and listen to you politely, listen to the other side, and then rules against you and states reasons that make no sense. But this happens in real life. Just yesterday, I was working on a matter looking to obtain financing, and the banker turned down the request that I made for completely wrong reasons. And I started telling the banker the correct reasons, and it was a blank stare at me. And I thought, this is just like I face with judges ruling against me on the wrong. Why isn't it that they pay attention to what the facts are? So, yes, that's frustrating, but it's part of the system. And oftentimes at cocktail parties, people say, how can you defend a criminal that you know is guilty? Well, our system is that everybody gets a chance for a trial and have their decision made by a judge or jury in a fair forum. That means that a certain percentage of cases, criminal cases, are brought against innocent people who should be acquitted. And the same thing is with civil suits, that people with $250 and a filing fee can sue you tomorrow for anything they want. And then you have to hire a lawyer, go to expense, have a hearing in order to fight it. But that's more important than having some despot make a decision for you without you getting due process of law.
Well, anybody thinking about doing that, I will countersue, all right, for punitive damages that you're giving me. And so don't mess. Do not even think about it. Nelson Happy, you're so wise, so knowledgeable. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.